You know, history was and is one of my favorite subjects. I like history. I like the stories. I like reading about the battles and the wars that formed this nation and the world as we know it. And you know, there's one thing about history, though, is we have to learn from our mistakes, right? Winston Churchill said that those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And so we need to learn from our mistakes, but others' mistakes as well, so that we don't repeat history. And we all have our own history. Everyone in this room has history. You have your own story. You have a where you came from, maybe your origin story, right? We all have that story that got us here to this situation today. We all have a testimony, so to speak. And my question for you is, have you learned from your past, or are you repeating it? The Israelites were terrible at learning from their mistakes. They're terrible at it. Judges 3:12 says, "Once again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord gave King Eglon of Moab control over Israel because of their evil." And if you read Judges, this is a repeated pattern. God would send a judge. In this case, he sent a left-handed man named Ehud. Ehud killed King Eglon, who was a very fat man. It says it in the Bible. And he killed him and then freed the Israelites. They're free from this, and then after Ehud died, it was like, once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, because they did evil. And it's that repeat offense. The repeat offense was going back to idol worship. The repeat offense was going back and turning their backs on God. Even though they had seen incredible things happen, they continued to turn away. Sometimes we do the same thing. The Lord delivers us from something and something happens. There's an event that takes place in our life that causes us to fall right back into the addiction, into the problem, into the mindset, into the depression. There are people that continually fall into that pattern. God rescues them, God saves them, God delivers them, and then you see them 6 months from now and they're right back where they were, and you're like, how did you get here? There's things that we can do to overcome it, though, right? There are people in this room right now that are battling some things, but I want to give you hope. I want to give you hope this morning. Revelation 12, verse 10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die.'" We have access to an effective strategy for overcoming Satan's schemes and accusations. We have an effective strategy to overcome sin. It's not a matter of our power, ability, or efforts. It has everything to do with Christ. He's already done it. And the victory has already been won. As Christ followers, we are freed from Satan's power by the blood of the Lamb. That's what the scripture says. The personal sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life to pay the price for sin so that those who believe in him, who trust him with their lives, would be forgiven. We could be restored to personal relationship with God and have the assurance of eternal life with him. 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the overcomer? The world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 9 says, "If we receive the testimony of men and the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he was born concerning his son. He said, 'Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar. And because he has not believed in the testimony that God has bore concerning his son, then this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And the life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. We have the opportunity to have eternal life because of Jesus. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we have accepted the testimonies of Jesus and the testimonies of the Father and the Holy Spirit that have said that through him is how we find eternal life. Christ's death and resurrection defeated Satan and guaranteed ultimate victory for those who are faithful to God. But how do we overcome? How do we overcome? The scripture says we become conquerors by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. By determining to speak for Christ and what he's done for us is important. It's important. It's important for you to tell your story. It's important for you to tell your God story. It's important for you to tell what God is doing in your life. That's how you become a conqueror. It's not just believing in Christ. That's the first step. The second step is telling how you got to that point. What did God do in your life? How did he heal you? How did he change you? Psalms 143:5 says, I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works and think about what you have done. As I was praying about this year, I really felt that missions was going to be something that we talked about. And we talked about that last week. But one of the other things that I really felt was that testimonies were going to be the cornerstone of this year. That was going to help us to be overcomers. That it was going to strengthen our faith. And one of the greatest testimonies in all the Bible is it's a whole chapter, in fact, of different testimonies from different people is in Hebrews chapter 11. It's probably, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, it's just testimony after testimony after testimony of God's goodness. Begins in verse 1, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a great reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and that when what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man and that God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up from heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about these things and never happened before. It was by his faith that Noah condemned the rest of the world and that he received righteousness that comes by his faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as in his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there. By faith, it was like the foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. All those people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. Look at these testimonies. These guys continued on. They had faith to believe. Even though some of them never saw what they were looking for, they knew that the promise was still there. And I go to the very first one in verse 4 when it says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man. In Genesis 4, verse 3 and 5, it says, when it was time for harvest, Cain presented some of the crops of the as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. And the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. And this made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. In verse 7, God looked at Cain and he said, you will be accepted if you do what is right. And I've thought about this, and I've thought about Cain and Abel, and I've thought about Abel offering the lambs and Cain offering the vegetables and I've thought about this, and I've thought, why was it such a big deal? But it says right here, it says that he brought the best portions of the firstborn lambs. God accepted Abel because he brought the best parts of the firstborn lambs. He didn't skip or hold back. He brought his first fruits, the best of the best. Cain didn't. He brought what was left. He brought what was left. He didn't bring the best. He didn't bring the first fruits. He brought what was left over. The scripture lays it out. If Cain just would have brought some of what was harvested at the beginning, the first fruits, and not the leftovers and the gleanings, not the best, not the first of the leftovers. God desires your first fruits, not your leftovers. The reason that we do first fruits on the first Sunday of January is because it's the first fruits. The first fruits is not February or March or April. The first fruits is January. God desires your first, not your leftovers. This is a testimony about Abel, but also about Cain. One had faith to give before he saw the reward, and one, he just gave the leftovers. You wouldn't invite someone to your house and serve them only leftovers, unless they're family, then you might, right? You don't invite people to dinner and serve them something that you had 3 days ago that's left over. If you do, it better be good, right? We want to give them something fresh, something new, something that was just done. Why would we do God any different? Hebrews 11:5 says, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Genesis 22 says, after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. And then one day, he disappeared because God took him. Just disappeared without a trace. 365 years, he walked in close fellowship with the Lord. Then he was no more. He didn't taste death. He was like Elijah and was gone. He was here one minute and gone the next. He was the first episode of Vanish Without a Trace. They don't know what happened to him. 60 Minutes did a story on his disappearance. But the ones closest to him knew that the chariots in the clouds had carried him out of this place. Hebrews 11:7 says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that came by faith. Genesis 6:9 says, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man and the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. And in verse 14 it says, he built a large boat from cypress wood and waterproofed it with tar inside and out, then constructed decks and stalls throughout its interior. Verse 17 says, look, I am about to cover the earth with a flood. that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die, but I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and female, into the boat, and you will keep them alive during the flood. Verse 22 says, so Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. It never rained before. It had never rained, and God tells Noah that he's going to flood the earth to build a boat, and Noah does it. Noah has zero concept of what an earth flooded would look like. He's never seen a flood. It's never happened before in his lifetime. But he built the boat. The most remarkable thing about Noah, though, is that Noah didn't hear from God after he began to build the boat for 100 years. That's the most remarkable thing to me about the whole story, is that for 100 years, he doesn't hear from God and he keeps building the boat. When someone asks me, what do you think God wants me to do? Well, what's the last thing he told you to do? It's been a long time ago. What's the last thing he told you to do? Because Noah built a boat for 100 years and didn't hear a word. But he kept doing the last thing God told him to do. Faith, that's endurance, that's never giving up, that's continuing swinging the hammer when you hadn't heard a word. He continued on. That's a testimony. I heard from God and I started building a boat. And then I didn't hear from him again for 100 years. I kept building the boat. Did you ever wonder? Yeah. About year 26, I was like, is this still what I'm supposed to be doing? Hebrews 11:8 says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God had promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. Genesis 12:1 says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives and your family, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families on earth will be blessed by you. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed. He departed, not knowing where he was going. He left with his wife and his nephew, which he wasn't supposed to do, but he did it, not knowing where he was going. He received several promises right here, though. He said he would make him into a great nation and he would be famous and all of the blessings that he was going to receive. You'll be a blessing to others. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. I will give you this land to your descendants. Okay. Packed up his camel and took off. Didn't know where he was going. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Verse 11, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. Genesis 15:4 says, then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir. You will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you'll have. Chapter 17, verse 16 says, I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. Then Abram bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100? He thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she's 90 years old? Make the promise. God makes the promise and confirms the promise. And then we know what happens. Sarah did bring Isaac into the world. And that through that line came Jesus, who through him has blessed the entire world. Hebrews 11 is a memorial of testimonies. It's a place that we see what God has done in the lives of so many. It's a snapshot of a few of the things that he did. Not a full testimony of all the things God did for each one of these, but it was the small things. It was the quick things. It was the remarkable things. It was things that they told the generations after generation after generation. What testimony are you going to continue to share? What has God done in your life that you have shared with others and that you will continue to share? What's your testimony? What's your story? What has God done in your life? What has he done that you've kept to yourself? What will people say when they hear your story? What will people say about you when you die? You know, it's funny that when people die, they're all of a sudden saints. I've been to some funerals that I was certain they were not talking about the same person. But what will they say about you before you die? What is God doing in your life today? How do we become conquerors? How do we become overcomers? How do we defeat the enemy? Revelation 12:11 says, as they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In order to conquer, we have to accept Christ. But we also have to share what he's done in our lives. We have to share what he's done. I don't want my life to be that I never shared what God had done. I want to share what God has done in my life. Every little thing that he does, the little things, the big things, God has done something in our lives. Do we share it? Last week was first fruits. I gave, just like I do in any offering that we take up. This week, I received a check that was completely unexpected. Completely unexpected. I called Chelsea and I said, see, when we're obedient to what God asks us to do, he'll bless us. And that's something simple and something tangible that we can see, but there's other things that he does throughout the year. We'll see things happen, and we sometimes don't see it until later. We don't realize it until later. But he shows up, Zach, time and time and time again. I want my God's stories and my testimony and my moments when God showed up to never be forgotten. I want my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids, if the Lord tarries, to remember me as someone who lived what I preached, that acted when God spoke, but more importantly, I want God to count me as righteous. At the end of my days, I don't care what other people say. I only care that he counts me as righteous. God does something in your life, share it. I immediately text Chelsea when I got that. When that night, when I got home, I told the girls, the two older girls, because the other ones, I don't know where they were. Because I want them to know that when God blesses us, this is how he does it. And when God moves, this is what he did. And it's not just with that. It's with everything that he does in our lives. We'll sit and we'll have a conversation. This is what God did. And sometimes it's fun to trace where it started. And to trace it to where it ends. What's your testimony? What do you need to share? What do you need to share this morning? What do you need to share with your family? What do you need to share with others? What do you need to share with your coworkers? How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You can't overcome if you never share what God's doing in your life. Some of you are battling today, and you've been battling with the same thing, and it's because you haven't shared what God has done in your life up until this point. Some of you struggle with the same thing over and over again because you haven't shared what God did when he released you, when he set you free. And you didn't become an overcomer. I ask everyone that would to stand to your feet this morning. What's your testimony? What's the thing that God has done in your life that you need to share with others? But more importantly, what's going on in your life right now that can be your testimony that God set you free? What are you dealing with? What's going on? What are you battling with this morning? What's the thing that you need to see conquered this morning? Say, you know what, I got some things that need to be conquered. I've got some things that I'm battling with, and I need God to show up. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. You've got a battle in your life that you're going on in your life. You're struggling with some things. You got some junk that you need God to show up in. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. I want to believe that when you leave this place, you can be a conqueror. But maybe you're just struggling sharing your testimony. Maybe you struggled with it. Maybe you've struggled sharing what God has done in your life. You say, I need strength. I need God's help to be able to share what he's doing in my life. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you that God will give you opportunity to share your testimony with people around you. That it'll help you become an overcomer. Don't miss it this morning. Don't miss it this morning. If you need God to do something in your life this morning, I encourage you to move. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you for the ones that responded. And Lord, I just pray that you just continue to move in their lives. Lord, I pray that when they leave this place, that they are conquerors. Lord, I pray that when they leave this place, when you change situations and circumstances in their life, that they're able to share it, God. Lord, I pray that as we go through this year, Lord, as we go through 2026, Lord, I pray that you help us to share our testimonies more and more. And that through sharing our testimonies, that we become conquerors, Lord. Thank you. We praise you this morning. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so.